Got my sweat towel. Got to have it. Got some notes for what that's worth. Got my Bible. Amen. Hey, I can never understand on Sunday why people need a Bible. Now you got me started, sister. You opened up a can of worms. It's First Bible Church. How do you come to church without a Bible? I don't get that. I'm sorry. First Bible Church. When I used to teach Sunday school back in the mid-90s, if a kid sat in my Sunday school class, he had to have, number one, a Bible, a piece of paper, and a writing implement. And if he didn't have it, he went back downstairs and sat with his mom and dad. I know you guys say, yeah, you're the hard guy, you know? This is easy tonight, by the way, because my harshest critics aren't here. My sons, they're home. Amen? The feedback I get. They're a tough crowd. I want to talk to you tonight about worship. You know, worship. You know, there's no lack of worship today. You speak to people, boy, man loves to worship. And I think the greatest form of worship today for man is self-worship. Man loves to worship himself. But I want to talk to you tonight about acceptable worship. There's a difference between worship and there's a difference between acceptable worship. And we have the privilege and honor as born-again believers to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want to talk to you about that tonight because you know what? We speak about this building being a hospital, and it is. It's an ER. But you know what? This is a place where we worship God. This is the holy of holies right here, folks. And we need to take that seriously. Let me read you out of Noah Webster's dictionary, a definition of worship. Worship, to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. Second definition, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. And then I looked up that word veneration. The highest degree of respect and reverence. Respect mingled with some degree of awe, a feeling or sentiment excited by the dignity and superiority of a person or by the sacredness of his character. I know such a person this evening. Amen. And with regard to place where we gather, by its consecration to sacred service. This place, when we meet in Jesus' name, is holy ground. I believe that with all my heart. And you know that you cannot worship God unless you have a sacrifice. You cannot worship. That's true in the Old Testament, and it's just as true in the New. You come to God, you must come to God with a proper sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22 tells me that, because the first mention of the word worship in the scriptures, and we know the account, and that's what it is. It's an account. This is a book full of historical accounts. Amen. Not stories. They're accounts. I used to always say that, you know, the story. It's not a story. This is an account, the record. This is the record. And it says in verse 1, we know the account. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Right? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So worship starts with a sacrifice. All right. And that's true in the Old Testament, but that's also true now. And you know that in order to offer up an acceptable sacrifice to God, the altar on which that sacrifice is placed has to be consecrated and sacred. OK, it can't be a polluted altar. And I truly believe as born again believers that we need to be mindful of the altar of sacrifice in which we come to worship God. And the it starts, the foundation of our worship, the foundation of the sacrifice that we offer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an altar on the heart of thanksgiving, of gratitude. Worship starts with a grateful, thankful heart. And I'm going to show you some verses. See, in the Old Testament, they worshiped God from a distance, right? Remember when Moses went up in the mountain in Exodus 24? He was the only one that was actually allowed to go up. And those that were called to the base of that mountain, they were kept at a distance. And you know, Brother Pat Mashanya said it so truthfully on Sunday. You know what our curse sometimes is? That we're too darn blessed as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, human nature is that what you don't have to struggle for, what you don't have to work for, what you don't have to sacrifice for, you don't appreciate it as one who has to struggle for it, as one who has to work for it. That's so true, is it not? You want to spoil your kid? Just give him everything he wants. You want to train him up right? Right? Make him earn those things. It's the same with us. This thing is too easy sometimes for us, folks. You think those folks in the Old Testament took for granted when they came to worship God? I don't think so. And you know what? The Bible tells us that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. But here's the thing, though. It doesn't say that our boldness excludes reverence. You see, we have to come reverently to the altar of sacrifice when we come to worship God. Let's look at some verses. Now, firstly, in the Old Testament, they did offer an offering of thanksgiving. But it was a free will offering. In Leviticus chapter 22, I'm going to read this for you. It wasn't an offering that was ordained by God that they had to offer on a certain date at a certain point of the calendar year. It says in Leviticus 22 and 29, and when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Okay? Listen, God's not going to make us come to him and be thankful. It's of your own free will, right? And we see there's many verses in the scriptures that talk about we need to cultivate a heart attitude of thanksgiving in this place. We really do. Individually and collectively as believers. Psalms chapter 26. It says in verse around 6 here, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Turn over to Psalms 50. One of the criticisms I get from my boys, you say amen too much. I just do that, though, to make sure you guys are awake, because you guys are too quiet sometimes. Psalms 50, verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know that when we cultivate a heart attitude of thanksgiving, then naturally a song will follow. Psalm 69. Backing up to 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. Verse 30 in chapter 69. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let's continue reading down. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Continuing in Psalms, flip over to chapter 95. A heart attitude of thanksgiving, gratitude. Psalms 95 says in verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Look at Psalms 100. We're to enter into his gates in verse 4 with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Look at Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Look it down around verse, right in the beginning. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Look at down 22, and let them sacrifice what? The sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Look at Psalms 116. You getting the point so far? By way of remembrance. Psalms 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, we need to cultivate individually and collectively as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of the body of Christ here at First Bible Church, a heart attitude of thanksgiving. It's essential for our worship, folks. Otherwise, you know what? We're just spinning our wheels and wasting our time. Another thing Pat Mashanya said Sunday that just rang so true, and I used to tell my kids, I grew my kids up with this, and I'll never forget, I used to tell my Sunday school kids this all the time. You can be here every Sunday, every Wednesday night from now till Jesus comes home. But if you're not really here in heart, then you're not here. And I used to tell my Sunday school kids, listen, guys, if what you're thinking about right now is, I can't wait till Mr. Andino is done with this lesson so I can go home and play my video games, guess what? You should have stayed in bed this morning. And that's the truth of us, really. If you're not here, listen, I don't know about you. You know why I come to church? Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. And his word says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves with one another. That's why I come. I don't care, and I praise God, we got a great pastor. But when we change pastors, some people stop coming to church. I could never figure that thing out. Listen, I come because of Jesus Christ and him alone. And I love my pastor, and we have a great pastor. But I don't come to church because of my pastor. I come to church because of my Savior. Amen? And that's why we should be here. Amen? Philippians chapter 4. And listen, if I get excited, if I yell, if I have an angry face, please, it's not personal. I'm not mad at you. You know, just another critique that I get sometimes. I'm happy in Jesus. But you know what? I get excited when I talk about Jesus. And the definition I read you, I'll go back to it real briefly, because when I read it, I was like, you see, that's why I get excited. Right? Look what it said. It said here about worship. It said, boom, 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 a feeling or sentiment excited by the dignity and superiority of a person or by the sacredness of his character. That's my Savior. Amen? It should excite you to talk about Jesus, shouldn't it? If you can't get excited about Jesus, what can you get excited about? Listen, I know I love sports and all that stuff, but you know what? All that stuff pales in comparison. There's no baseball and football and basketball in heaven. You know? I mean, really, let's be real. But if there was, no. I'm not going to go there. Philippians chapter 4. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Right? In other words, don't be filled with care for nothing, for anything, right? But by in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, it all starts with a heart attitude of thanksgiving, right? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'll let you get there. Because complaint number 4, paragraph B, section 2, was you go too fast. Hey, listen, you know what? I have thick skin in Jesus' name. It doesn't offend me, really. You can complain. You can do it. You can say it's too hot, too cold. And I'll stand there politely and I'll, it don't mean nothing. It really doesn't. It's all good in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll get over it at some point. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Heaven's going to be a fun place, folks. We need to lighten up. It's going to be a loud place, too. Listen, worship. We sing about it, right? We're going to be worshiping Jesus Christ forever in eternity. And it's going to be loud. So we might as well make some noise now. Because it's going to be loud, you know? Colossians chapter 2. You know, people say, oh, it's not my personality. It's not. Listen, get over yourself. It's a very interesting study on a Sunday to stand back there. Oh, it's a different perspective, folks. Woo, you have no idea. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? Okay. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You see, that's the problem with Christianity today. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's not a problem, right? That's the easy part, you know? You know, you talk to someone about salvation, anybody with half a brain will get in on this deal, right? But here's the problem, folks. The second part there. So walk ye in him. That's difficult, is it not? Like Brother Chris said last week, this is a war, folks. And in this war, there are many, many battles. What I can't figure out sometimes is why so many casualties are lost in battles when you know the outcome of the war. That should exhort you. The war is victorious. It's settled. It's written in the book. But the battles, though, that's the walk part of it. And a lot of Christians get beat up in the battle. Casualties, defeated, right? And like the brother said, we have to esteem the cause and keep our eyes on the prize. I love that. And it's so true. So true. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. We are to abound with thanksgiving. Do we not have something to be thankful for? And I'm not talking about just being thankful Sunday morning at 10 a.m. when the band gets struck up. Where are you Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? How about Monday morning when your alarm clock goes off? Do you wake up just grateful? I love what the brother shared from Louisiana, right? Thank you, Lord, for this warm bed. Thank you for the pillow that I have under my head. Thank you for the sheets that I have, Lord. Thank you, right? I mean, that's, we got to... all the time. Listen, if you've got to remind yourself, I don't know about you, but my glass is always half full. It is. It really is. You don't have to give me a rah-rah speech, you know? Listen, Jesus Christ saved even me. He puts up with me. What am I going to complain about? Thanksgiving, folks. Now, I really believe if we cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving, and listen, I tell you what, you know when church starts? It doesn't start when you pull into the parking lot and walk through the door. It starts at home. It does. And you know what? This is not a spectator sport, folks. This is not entertainment time. You know, you're very much as part of this worship this evening as I am who's doing the speaking. And that's the God's honest truth. We need to be involved. I need you. You need me. We need one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, right? So much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to just be on fire. I really believe that there will be a revival in First Bible Church if we start with a right heart attitude of thanksgiving and offer the proper sacrifice every time we meet in Jesus' name in this place. I really believe that with all my heart. Because the scriptures show me that. Okay, so now, after you've cultivated this heart attitude of thanksgiving, now you need a sacrifice, right? You do not worship God without a sacrifice. So now that the altar of your heart is prepared, right? You're grateful, you're thankful. Now you're able to offer something up. Amen? All Bible. Now look at Psalms 51. I'll try to temper my zeal. I know it isn't. I'm just saying that to be polite. Psalms 51. It's such a privilege to be a member of this church, a member of the body of Christ here. I'm appreciative of brothers that just step in here and they, you know what? It stirs my heart, man. You know, it really does. You know, this is what it's about, folks. This ain't no religion. This ain't no religion. Psalms 51, verse 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips. And my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. Psalms 54. Psalms 54. I'll let you turn there. Am I going too fast? How's my speed? I'm all right? Jesus loves even you, Eddie. Even you, baby. Psalms 54. Verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For it is good. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Listen, we sing it. Don't we sing the song, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of our God. We need to bring that sacrifice of praise every time we meet. It shouldn't be a hit or miss. Our kids went to camp, what was it, last year? They came like on fire because they were stirred by the worship services, weren't you? Right? And even Pastor, you remember the Sunday that Pastor actually apologized, like he really needed to apologize? He apologized to us, right, for the way our worship services were conducted. And how many times does Brother Pat Mashanyo or Pastor Pat come up here and they preface their remarks by saying, I'm not trying to be a cheerleader. But you know what, honestly speaking, they are being a cheerleader. You know why? Because there's dead wood sitting out there in the audience. Listen, we should cheer them on. We don't need a if you need a cheerleader on Sunday morning to sing to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? Stay home. I love you. But stay home. Come on. Let's be real, folks. Who are we singing about? Really? Who are we worshiping? Who saved your soul? Who removed your sins as far as the east? Who knew you yet loved you anyway? Let's keep it real, folks. God is real. God is real. We don't fool God. I'm that dumb to believe God is real. Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I'm just keeping to tell you that. I'm not mad. Jeremiah 33. Look at down around in verse 11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah 33, I'm sorry, I hear people flipping and I started reading. Verse 11, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, and as at the first saith the Lord. We need to bring the sacrifice of praise into this place every time we meet. You know what? It should not take a special to stir your heart. We should offer up a special every time we sing right from there. Right from there. And it shouldn't be like, wow, you know, this Sunday the song service was really powerful. You know what? How about every time we meet in Jesus' name, we just blow the covers off the fixtures, blow the spiritual doors right off the back there. Shouldn't we? All right. Help us is right. Help us is right. Hebrews chapter 13. This is holy ground when we meet in Jesus' name, folks. Holy ground. We need to come to this place prepared. Listen, when you come to church on Sunday morning, how about this? This is not the extension of your breakfast hour. Oh, man, now I'm getting personal, man. People are going to get mad at me now. Woo! Man. Hebrews chapter 13. It's quiet in here. Hebrews 13. I was told I got a smile once. Verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. 15. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. Has anybody got a problem with that word, continually? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. On Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? No. On Wednesday evenings at 7? No, it says continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Listen, is his name any more diminished? Is it diminished on Wednesday? Does it not mean the same on Thursday and Saturday? His name is glorious all the time. It is, right? I mean, he is glorious all the time. If you saw me driving on the ward, on the road at times, you'd think I was a crazy man. I speak to God out loud. I just sing. I don't even, you know what? I'm tired. I don't listen to Christian radio. You know, I just sing my own hymns. Me and God have fun when I go to work, amen, when I come home, you know? It says continually. You know why? Because that's just how I am. You know why? Because the devil puts stupidity in my mind at any opportunity. So you know how I squash that out? I always think about Jesus. Think of a verse. Think of a song. Sing it out. And then there's no room for the nonsense and minutiae that the devil tries to throw your way. You try it. It works, folks. It really does. And you know what? We have something to be excited about. We really do. We have something to be excited about. Oh, amen? Now, so we got to cultivate a heart attitude of thanksgiving, and then we can offer up a proper sacrifice, right? And I want to show you in the Old Testament. You know, God moved miraculously in the Old Testament right when a worship service broke out. And I really believe if we get a hold of this thing collectively, if we truly with sincere, grateful, thankful hearts, if we purpose to be sanctified vessels unto honor, meet for his use, right? You know what? What is music? It's about vessels put together and they make a noise, right? But we need to be sanctified vessels, folks. And I believe if we get together, we purpose to just get on our faces, to be clean vessels on Sunday when we walk through that door, on time. Woo, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. Oh, you're getting personal now, right? But you know what? I believe God will do an amazing work in the midst. He really will. There's something powerful. You see, religion takes some things that are biblically true and they twist them, right? In Roman Catholicism, the priest supposedly is calling Jesus down into this wafer. What's it called? Transubstantiation or whatever, right? You know, though, I believe we have the power to call the presence of our Lord in the midst, roaming the aisles. If we come with the right heart attitude, the Bible says so. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Let's look at something. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We shouldn't leave here on a Sunday like, wow, that was an exceptionally great worship. No, every time we meet, it should be great. Every time. We should never have a bad day in this place in Jesus Christ. That should not exist. Listen, we have enough down days out in the world we get beat up. Not here. Not here. No, we need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's not of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says here, this is about King Jehoshaphat. And this stage of the game, this is after David's reign, Solomon's reign. The tribes have been divided. You know, the Boam guys, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, right? So this is all past that. And then with the subsequent reigning of kings, as you read these chapters, some were good, some were bad. This guy started out good. Towards the end of the chapter, he wasn't so good. But let's read about him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass in verse 1 after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them of others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You talk about being united on something, huh? And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? You see, let me tell you something. Jehoshaphat is not telling God this because God somehow forgot these things. Jehoshaphat is rehearsing these things in his own mind so he can remind himself of how great his God is. That's what we need to do. We need to remind ourselves of who God is, right? And it says in verse 7, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to them, to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Boy, wouldn't it be nice to be called a friend of God forever? That's sweet. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house,
and in thy presence. For thy name is in this house. Thy name is in this house. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And verse 10, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. It's getting thick in there now. He's coming in the midst of the congregation. Amen. And now, where was I? See, that's one. 15. Thank you. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You want to be victorious in the battle? Just give it to him. See, that's the unbelievable thing. This battle that we fight as Christians, we don't fight it. Right? The verse says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. We got to let him fight the battle so that we can win the victory. Amen? You shall not need to fight in this battle, it says, verse 17. And in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. That's a profound verse there. Listen, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. You know what that is? That's your salvation, right? That's your standing. Listen, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You can't mess the thing up, right? Ephesians 4:3. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nothing. But here's the key, folks. What about the next part of that? Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper. That's your state, folks. See, we believe the Lord to be established, but we don't believe his prophets, so we shall prosper. You see? Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is according to written in it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. God doesn't want you to be a success. He wants you to be a good success. Amen? Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed, watch it, singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten completely. And we don't have time, but you read the rest of the chapter. They couldn't even carry the spoil away. There was so much spoil after this victory. But you know what? You know when God came down and smote the enemy? When they started singing and praising God. I believe if we get a hold of this thing, we'll see God come down and do some mighty miraculous things in our midst. I'm not getting Pentecostal on you, folks. I know Jesus lives in me. He lives in you. But there's something supernatural that occurs when we get together. There's another manifestation of his spirit in the midst. That's Bible. We need that every time we meet. Every time. I know I want that every time we meet. But you know what? You have to have sanctified worship. You see? See, the modern church today, the contemporary church today, they put a lot of emphasis on their worship service. I sat in a church last summer. Man, you know, it's like going to a rock concert and hoping that a church service will break out. It's the truth. You know, you don't even feel connected. It's very entertaining. But I really felt like I was at a concert. And they were very established musicians. The singers sang great. You know, it was a full band. But I didn't feel like I had anything to do with the worship service that Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, they were singing one of our old hymns, and I didn't even know it. I think my wife pointed out, and at one point in the song, probably three quarters when it was over, I finally got it. But it was, you know what? It wasn't right. You know why? Because it wasn't sanctified. It wasn't consecrated. You know what I'm saying? It just wasn't. I'll never forget the time that Brother Pat gave us that illustration with Amazing Grace. He sang a few bars to the Coca-Cola jingle, and then we sang it from the way it should be sang. There's no comparison, folks. There's a reason why we do what we do here. Not because we're old fuddy-duddies, but you know what? You got to watch those that are given to change, the Bible says. You do. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I say. Listen, I've had enough of the world and the music. When I come to church on Sunday, I don't want the world's beat in my worship. Amen. That's just me. You know, and I got a lot of beat in me, folks. If you know me, I got some beat. But let me tell you something. I don't want no beat in my worship. That's the world. All right. I'm confessing a fault to you. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why are you laughing, Eddie? 1 Corinthians 15. Look at it. It's got to be sanctified worship, folks. You know, music is powerful. Remember when King Saul was troubled by that evil spirit that was sent by God? You know, let me tell you something. This Bible, a lot of times you read this Bible, it seems like the devil and God are working like really close together. You know? But you know what? When David came and played, that spirit departed. Music is a powerful medium. It really is. Let me tell you something. I love classical music. I could sit and listen to a piece of classical music, and I'm not going to lie, it'll bring me to tears. To tears. Right? I mean, it's spiritual music. You know? We need to have that kind of song every time. We should be crying in Jesus' name as we sing praises to him on Sunday, folks. You know? That's the way it should be. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles. If I say Corinthians, I beg your pardon. You know what? Before you go there, you know the story. Well, we won't turn there, but we know the story in the book of Joshua chapter 6 when they were told to compass around the walls of Jericho, right? And they were to blow the trumpet, right? And when they blew that trumpet that seventh time, those walls fell down, right? Another example of worship in the Old Testament and God moving and doing miraculous things as a result of them having a sanctified worship service. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. If you went to Corinthians, I'll give you time to flip backwards. You know, it's said that we just read about King Jehoshaphat. In the latter part of that chapter, he fell into apostasy. But you know what? In the very next chapter, his son, Jehoram, it says that he was an evil king. You know? You know what? We're only as good as today's battles, folks. Tomorrow is a new battle. And if you might have been victorious today, guess what? Tomorrow you need a fresh batch of manna to face a new battle. You know, and if you read, when you get a chance, go home, read that the latter part of 2 Chronicles 21, that last part of the chapter, speaking of his son, how when he died, it said they didn't even desire him. And when they buried him, he wasn't even buried in the sepulcher of the kings. That's sad. That's really sad. I tell my kids all the time, man, listen, you know, there was a point when my kids came to church because guess what? They didn't have a choice. They were too young. They were, you know, they're coming to church. But I always told them, listen. And that was really moving what Pat shared, that statistic, that two-thirds statistic. I don't know where he got that from. But you know what? If Jesus is not real to my kids because of what he's done for them, they wouldn't be here. That's just the God's honest truth. I can't impart that. You can't impart that. As a parent, you have to live the life
that will glorify the Lord as much as possible. And I know the Bible says train up a child. But at some point in their lives, they've got to realize what Jesus has done for them. He's got to be their Lord and Savior. They have to esteem what he's done for them. And that's what will keep them on the road. Amen? You don't get it by osmosis, folks. It don't work that way.
Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. We there? And verse 12, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. And this is, they're moving the ark of the covenant. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Listen,
there has to be a dedicated, a sanctified, an appointment that we make to worship God. It's not this ecumenical, let's strike up the band thing, you know. And in the Old Testament, you know, there was only a choice few that were able to actually worship God this way. That was their job, if you will. Amen.
Well, we're believer priests in the New Testament. You know, look at 1 Chronicles 23. It speaks a little bit more to that end, how there was a consecrated, sanctified worship. 1 Chronicles 23. In verse 5, he says, moreover, 4,000 were porters and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. There were specific instruments made specifically just to praise God. Look at 2 Chronicles 29 real quick. This is about Hezekiah. He sanctified the house of God. It says in 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah began in verse 1 to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. In verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And if you drop down towards the end of the chapter, okay, the point I'm making is that this is sanctified worship. Verse around 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seers and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. Verse 26, and the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priest with trumpets. And Hezekiah, in verse 27, commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets and with instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. These were ordained instruments set forth in which to praise God. Now, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The point I'm making, folks, is that worship is something that we need to prepare for. You know, the Bible says to sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, right? We need to sanctify ourselves before we come here to worship God. We need to spend time in prayer and in his word. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I think if we do that, this is going to be the result of our Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, whenever we get together, this will be the result. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It says in verse 12, also the Levites, which were the singers of all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Wow. Could you imagine that? 120 priests with trumpets. Man. And verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. As Brother Ryman would say, it got thick up in there, right? The presence of God was real. You know, the Bible says when two or three are gathered, here's the operative word, together in his name, he is right there in the midst. It doesn't say when two or three are gathered in his name. We do that every time we meet. But if we want his presence to come down in our midst, then we need to get together in his name. But we need to get together together. Amen. When two or three are gathered together in his name, we got to be together. We got to be of one accord, of one mind, of one heart when we come to sing praises to God. And then it'll be so thick up in here, boy. Woo! We'll need to take out the duct tape. I know we will. But we need to purpose to do that, folks. You need to do your part. You know? You know why whoever comes up here and directs the services on Sunday morning, the worship service, and I say direct because if you ask them, they're not leading the worship service, folks. The Holy Spirit of God leads the worship service in this place. They're directing the formalities of the thing. But do you know what? They don't just get up here and say, okay, what songs are we going to sing today? They spend time praying on their knees, getting clean, right? So when they come before you, man, it's they're spirit-filled and spirit-led, and they're excited. You know why they're excited? Because they spent some time with their Savior. That's how we should be. We should be equally excited back. We shouldn't need a cheerleader, rah, rah, rah. But you know what? How could you really be excited about singing to Jesus, right? If while we're singing to Jesus, you're talking to your neighbor. I don't know how that works. And it happens every Sunday in this place. Every Sunday. And it ought not to be so, folks. It ought not to be so. Now, if it disturbs me and all I am is a sinner saved by grace, I'm a poor beggar that found the right piece of bread. But when I stand back there on Sunday and Pat is up here and he's excited about the Lord and Brother Pat when he's singing, and then people are standing in the back, sitting in the back, sitting and just while people are praising Jesus. That is not right, folks. That is blasphemous. That is sacrilege. I'm just calling it the way it is. That is not meeting together in the name of Jesus Christ together. That's not. There is nothing that we should be doing in this place when we walk through those doors but worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't have a song, go find it. I'll show you where you can find your song. But please, oh, God, help us. God is real, folks. Every idle word, every foolish thought, he knows it all. If we can't praise God when we're together, do you really think you're going to go outside and praise God? If you can't sing about Jesus here, are you going to talk about him out there? I don't think so. I'm not mad at you. I'm just simply stating the way it is. Listen, I'm trying to provoke you unto love and good works. Let's be serious about what we do when we come here. And please, listen, if you're sitting next to somebody and they're talking, listen, you have the permission to say, shh, as a believer. You don't need to be an elder. Listen, if you're sitting next to somebody that's running their mouth while we're singing a song, tell them to be quiet in Jesus' name with a smile on your face so you don't know what they're feeling. Really? Not too many amens on that. Wow.
I know I'm the bad guy back there. I'm the one that stirs up trouble. But man, come on, folks. Let's be real. Let's be real. Would you start talking in the middle of a prayer service? Would you start speaking in the middle of Pastor Michael Pat preaching the word of God? Would you start breaking out in a conversation? If you did, they call you out. Oh, people do. As outrageous as that might seem, you know, Pastor Mel, boy, you did not want to talk while Pastor Mel was preaching. No, you did not. People did, though. They thought that they had a memory. They had like a lapse of mind and body, an out of body experience at the moment or something. But listen, folks, man, this is serious business when we get together here, folks. I don't understand that. Listen, we need to be sanctified. Look at, man, I was getting late. Look at, real quick, 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you got something so important on a Sunday that you need to discuss, just step outside. Step outside. Don't do it in here while we're singing, please. It just grieves the spirit of worship in this place. It really does. 2 Samuel chapter 6. This was the first time they tried to move the cart. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart in verse 3 and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. I just want to show you the contrast, right? And it says here, and they brought out of the house of Abinadab, verse 4, accompanying the ark of God, right? It broke at verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord. Look at the phrasing here, though. On all manner of instruments made of firwood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and of cymbals. And we know what happens later on. Uzzah puts his hand out and he gets smitten by God. But you know what happened here? This was an ecumenical worship service. There was nothing sanctified about it. The instruments were not sanctified. It was just a jam in Jesus' name. And you know what? God did not bless it. All manner of music. And guess what? Some of the instruments that are mentioned here later on are the same instruments. But you know what the difference was? They were consecrated and sanctified for worship. You know what that tells me? In this earthly house of this tabernacle, right? This is my tabernacle. This is where God lives, right? I am a vessel. But guess what? That doesn't mean, though, that as a vessel, even though I can come boldly, that every time I come to seek God, I'm going to be blessed. I have to come with the right heart attitude first. I have to be a sanctified, consecrated vessel, thankful. And then I can offer the right sacrifice on the altar of my heart. Then the blessing of God will flow. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process. It's day to day. Sometimes it's many to many. It's casting down and pulling down all those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We need to do that every day. You know why? Because every day we get dirty out there. Every day. Remember in Daniel chapter 3? Look at it real quick. Daniel chapter 3. I know we can come boldly, and the way has been paved, and it didn't cost us anything, but man, the way is sacred to God, folks. It cost Jesus Christ everything. Daniel chapter 3. We know King Nebuchadnezzar makes this false idol to worship. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are my boys. I love when they told him, said, "Oh, King, we are not careful to answer thee. Listen, I don't care how this thing works out. You throw us in there, we get burnt up. We're not bowing down," is what they were telling him. And look at verse 5. Right before they were supposed to worship this idol, look what it says. That at what time you hear the sound of what? Cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And what was the result? This is a pagan worship, right? All kind of music. Listen, it's not about strike up the band on Sunday, folks. You know, I don't care how well you can play the piano or how well you can strum a guitar. It will only be acceptable worship before God when we come in here and that piano player has sanctified him or herself, consecrated him or herself. If that guitar player has sanctified himself, consecrate a vessel that's meet for the master's use, then we're going to have worship service. And the same goes for you and I as we sit here and we sing praises unto Jesus' name. That's just what it is. Listen, let us not offer strange fire on the altar. Let us not offer strange fire, folks. We don't want to do that. Look at Malachi chapter 1. I'm winding down, I promise. Let this not be said of all worship. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Look around verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Verse 7. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, whom he will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. If this hath been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. When we meet and praise, we are praising a great king, and his name is dreadful. And we need to meet with the sobriety. We need to sing praises with fear and trembling before him. And let us not offer polluted bread on the altar of the sacrifice. Because he'll come down one way or the other. But I don't want him coming down as a consuming fire. You know? We need, it's serious business worship. Look at Psalms 42. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Psalms 42 verse 8 says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. He can be and is your song in the night. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, look what it says in Psalms verse 40. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Psalms 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Amen. He's worthy, folks. He's worthy. Listen, once we've come here with grateful hearts, with a sanctified altar, we can offer the sacrifice of praise. There should be a shout in this camp.
The redeemed of the Lord should be able to say so. Amen. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. Has he dealt bountifully with you? Has he not dealt bountifully with you? Look at Psalms verse 5. Verse 5. I'm sorry. Psalms chapter 5. Wow. Psalms chapter 5. Look at verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. It says in Psalms 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Shout for joy. Turn to chapter 35 real quick. Just a couple of more. 35. Look at verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually in verse 27, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Amen. All the day long. Psalm 66. Look at Psalm 66. You know, the truth is that if we don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. Look at the latter part of 65, actually, verse 13. It says in Psalm 65:13, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shall shout for joy. They also sing. Look at verse 1 in chapter 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Amen. Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen. Listen, we have something to shout about, folks. And we need to bring that every time we meet. You know that Jesus Christ is going to return with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. He's going to come back with a shout. Heaven's a loud place. So listen, just to recap. When we come, let's be mindful of who we worship. The first thing you need to do is come with a heart attitude of just gratitude and thanksgiving. Prepare the altar of your heart. Then come with a song and offer that song upon that altar, that grateful, thankful altar unto your God, right? The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits those praises and he will come down in the midst of us as we do so individually and collectively. Have you never felt the presence of God while you were communing with him? Have you never felt his arm around you? Have you ever opened up this book and just started to weep? Right? That's his presence. It's real. Amen. This is real, folks. Right? His spirit is real. And you know what? When we get together here in Jesus' name, let us do so together. Together. Sanctify your vessel. Let it be a vessel unto honor that he can use for his glory and honor. And if you get dirty, okay, just get back up and clean yourself off and go at it again. Amen. And we need to do that, folks, when we meet here, especially when we meet here. If this is not a holy congregation, when we meet together, wow. If we can't be that way collectively, isn't there strength in numbers? If we can't do that collectively, are you really going to do it by yourself? Come on, let's be real. God is real, folks. He's coming back. We'll give an account. Let's get practicing now. You know, let's worship him in spirit and truth now. Amen? Thank you for your time. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, Father.